This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk again later on WRCO Radio. Coming up, our news update, followed by the morning show, Community Conversation. Mayor Todd is in the house. We'll have that for you coming up, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden's son Hunter has arrived at court in Wilmington, Delaware. Jury selection beginning today in a federal gun case. He's accused of lying on a form that he had to fill out for a firearm in which he said he was not a drug user when he was. A new ABC News Ipsos poll following former President Donald Trump's 34 convictions last week for falsifying documents ahead of the 2016 election. ABC News political director Rick Klein with more on those who say they don't want to vote for either Donald Trump or Joe Biden this November.
If you just look at those who dislike both President Biden and former President Trump, the so-called double haters who could be so critical in this election, among those voters, 65% think this was the right verdict, and 67%, two-thirds, think that he should actually end his campaign. Of course, that's not going to happen.
Mexico's projected winner in the presidential race is Claudia Sheinbaum, who will become the first woman ever elected in that country. She is also the first Jewish person ever elected in Mexico, a majority Catholic country. This is ABC News. One of the longest-serving members of Congress from the state of Texas now says she is fighting cancer.
Sheila Jackson Lee has occasionally sparred with fellow Democrat Joe Biden over immigration issues and has been a vocal supporter of gun legislation.
45% of all the guns in the world are in the United States.
After 14 terms, she gave up her seat in the House to run for Houston mayor. She lost and was fighting to regain her congressional seat when she announced this weekend that she's being treated for pancreatic cancer. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Under investigation now, a data breach at Ticketmaster that may have seen information on half a billion customers stolen. Ticketmaster's parent, Live Nation, launching the probe after the hack was discovered last month. The data apparently for sale on the dark web. And a necklace may have saved a man's life. Police in Commerce City, Colorado say a fake silver necklace stopped a bullet from going through a man's neck. The suspect is due in court today. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. The end of the school year, June Dairy Month, and the beginning of summer. And, of course, it's June's birthday. Stone of the month is pearl, a classic piece of jewelry for everyone, especially those coming up new brides. Shop at Pamela's for the perfect pearl jewelry and save 20% for your pearl jewelry for the month of June in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink. The Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Just call them at 649-7469. Today's forecast calls for a high of 78 degrees, showers and thunderstorms by midday today. Tonight, showers ending and a low of 62. And then tomorrow, 83 with isolated showers possible. Currently on the Wirtz floor and home temperature gauge, we're up to a toasty 71 degrees.
Your car does more than take you from point A to point B. It helps you navigate through life with those you love by your side. We are here to provide the protection you need on that journey while helping you get a great value for your money. With auto insurance coverage from Julie Karen State Farm, you can count on competitive prices, efficient claim service, around-the-clock support, convenient access, financial strength and integrity, and personalized service from a company and agency you can trust. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Unexpected cold showers are the worst. That's the thing about water heaters. They eventually stop heating or they can't keep up with the demand. So when your shower suddenly goes from hot to not, call Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. We provide several brand options and offer traditional or space-saving tankless water heaters. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Thank you.
On our morning show today from WRCO Radio, it's our monthly visit with Mayor Todd Coppernall, who is here, and he has brought along a friend today, City Attorney Michael Wendell, who is here as well to kind of tell us about what he does and his background and whatnot. Good morning, Mayor Todd. How are you?
Hey, Phil. Doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
Good day today, and it was a good, I want to say we're almost into summer, so I want to say it's been a good spring, hasn't it?
It has been, and here we go, and weather did what it does. A month ago it was dry, and the farmers needed rain, and now it won't stop. Welcome to Wisconsin. But yeah, no, and now we're into, I think, my favorite time of the year, you know, that early summer before the real humid stuff hits. Everybody's out. I see people having fun doing what they do.
And the rodeo's coming up?
Yeah, the high school rodeo championship again, coming up June 14th through the 16th at the fairgrounds here. It's always awesome. I think people don't appreciate, you have to see it, the amount of work that these kids put in and their families or their supporters, friends, who's ever backing them. It's not a one-person endeavor. It's a very expensive sport to participate in. It takes a lot of time and effort. And if you don't think those kids are athletes, you have not been to the Wisconsin High School Rodeo Championship, because they certainly are.
Yeah, they may be the best high school athletes when you get right down to it.
They do, so. And just their heart is in it, man. And it's, you talk about nerve at, you know, 16 years old. It's you or maybe you and a horse, and everybody in the bleachers is watching that, and they go out and perform. And it's so interesting to me to listen to adults judge that. You know, they're watching, they're eating their popcorn, and the 15-year-old just gave you all they got, and then you go, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Great entertainment, that's for sure.
It is that.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about today? What's going on in the city of Richland Center?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the city of Richland Center, and Mr. Wendell's going to touch on some of this. And we've talked publicly, because it was discussed publicly in the past, about the Panorama Estates Apartments project that we continue to work on. Mr. Wendell is directly involved in that. I'll let him say what he wants to say about it. I get asked about it a lot, because it was, you know, reported publicly that we're working on it. We still are. Lots of other rumors going around about what businesses want to come and what don't. I won't touch on those publicly today. I think you understand why not.
Okay. Yeah, you always kind of give us a little bit of a hint, and then you back off.
There's things I can tell you and things I cannot. So the fact that there are businesses interested, I can tell you which ones they are and where we're at. I'm going to leave it out today just to touch it, because I do get asked a lot before I come down. And I just wanted to tell everybody who doesn't know and doesn't listen or didn't listen to Those Were the Days with Phil Neese Saturday night, I really tried to stump him with a request. I sent him one that I only heard on a movie soundtrack in 1983, and I was sure he wouldn't have it, and then he played it. Good job filming.
My wife calls it hoarding, so that's the music that I have.
I thought it was great, and yeah. Thanks for doing that. But I want to tell you why Michael's here today. I don't think he's ever been down here. Michael, have you ever been on the show?
I have not.
Well, thanks for joining us, and I think it's important. Michael serves two very critical roles in the community. He is the city attorney. He's also corporate counsel for Richland County. So he's doing a lot of things for all of us, and just a very proactive, hands-on professional when it comes to the roles he's filling. And on the city side, what he's been able to bring to us is just what I just said, just not just see the issue, deal with the issue, but really teach myself, the city administrator, the city council, this is the best approach, this is why, not just vote on it. Okay, this is why we do this. And I'm going to stop here for a minute and give Michael a quick chance to just introduce himself and say hello.
Sure. Michael Wendell, as the mayor introduced, I do work for the county as the corporation counsel and the city attorney. I think it's important to me personally, because I view law as a service, and I really gain a lot of satisfaction from the fact that the skills that I've worked so hard to acquire, I get to use in direct service to the community in which I live. I own a home here in Richland Center, out in Allison Park. I've been here for about 5 years now. People still say welcome to Richland Center, and I have made my peace with being the new guy until the day I die. But, you know, I come from the East Coast, and I had never encountered a community smaller than, I don't know, 20,000 people before. My first year of law school, they sponsored a bus tour of rural Wisconsin, and I found the small town life and just fell in love with it immediately. The values, the people, the scenery. My daughter refers to our town as her little Encanto, because we're protected with the bluffs and everything. And I could not see myself living anywhere else. And fortunately, I landed a job that allowed me to commute to Westby, and then when the corporation counsel position opened up, I was able to secure that. And then that allowed me to work from home. And so I was present in the community more. And then that apparently made a good impression on the mayor. And when the city attorney position came available, I was positioned for that as well.
It's fascinating to me that you took a bus tour from Delaware to Wisconsin, right?
So the bus tour was from the University of Wisconsin Law School. So it was only Madison.
Oh, it was only Madison.
I moved out here in 2013.
Okay.
And was finishing up my bachelor's and was in my first year of law school. And that's when they sponsored that trip.
Okay. Had you ever heard of Richland Center before, though?
No. We kind of landed here by accident. My fiance works in Madison. She was telecommuting even before COVID, but once COVID hit, you know, it was much more the way of doing business. But we needed a place between my firm's office in Westby and Madison. And fortunately, we were looking around and actually the Panorama Apartments, my fiance loves air conditioning. That was a requirement for her. And that was the only facility she could find with availability with air conditioning. And we moved in there. And then, like I said, I don't just mean generally speaking, I enjoy rural Wisconsin. I love this town specifically, and getting the opportunity to learn it and explore it has really been the joy of my last few years.
Your last chance on radio, you were actually a DJ on your college station. Can you give us a little sample?
Sure. So I was a DJ for 91.3 WVUD, the voice of the University of Delaware.
All right.
A natural. That's awesome. I didn't know that till we got here today either. I had never heard that part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I'm guessing that was great for your resume for public speaking and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I actually attended a school in Wilmington, Delaware called the Cab Calloway School for the Performing Arts. I was a communications major, and so I focused more on the writing side, but you were able to do a major and a minor, and I had tried out for a drama minor. The now retired Judge Sharp, my boss, advised me to look into working with him in the local theater troupe based on that background. Unfortunately, I think my schedule's a little too hectic for rehearsals, but I've never been afraid of public speaking. I usually have something to say. As I said, when we met this morning, I'm trying to avoid any dead air, but I also try and keep it interesting or at least relevant. I'm not always successful, but I do my best.
What about getting into law? What inspired you there?
Jack McCoy from Law and Order, the prosecutor. It's radio, so people can't see me necessarily, but suffice to say I have views on certain aspects of the criminal justice system that led me to be interested in a career as a prosecutor so that I could try and affect change in that system. I was discouraged from the viability of that path, and then the tour happened, and so I started looking at different opportunities. The firm that I've mentioned out in Westby, it's Abswain Law. I'm not trying to hide that, offered me a position, and they represent Vernon County. I had not been familiar with corporation counsel position, but I have a background. I was a drug and alcohol counselor prior to going to law school. A lot of the county stuff involves working closely with HHS, DHS, guardianships, protective placements, involuntary mental commitments. A lot of that is based in substance abuse and mental illness, again, which I had a background with. And we just really love municipal law. I am not someone who could come in and read contracts all day, every day. I need the challenge of fires to put out and some, hopefully not literally, but just walking into the office every day and, you know, not knowing what it is that I'm going to face in the day. It's really worked with my skill set and mentality. And I am enough of a people person that thus far the various organizations I deal with haven't chosen to fire me. So apparently I do an all right job of translating the legalese to English. As I said, I view law as a service. I think getting people to understand law to the extent that it's relevant to whatever it is they're dealing with is part of that service. And so I have tried sometimes successfully to make it a little easier. As the mayor said, you know, in educating him and the council, it's really important to me that if I were to get hit by a bus tomorrow, the efforts that we've undertaken so far wouldn't stop. They would have some idea of, hey, you know, Mike said we have this power, we have this authority. Let's look into that a little bit more.
Someone with this great background that he has, very varied, Todd, this has to be very beneficial for the city and the county. I'm
sure. It absolutely is. And as you understand, you just heard Michael say things I'd never heard. I knew some of his personal background, but he just gave you more than I've ever heard. I knew he grew up, as they say, back east and had exposure to drug and alcohol counseling, things like that. But I love the story. A lot of people here have these really cool, unique stories. A guy from the University of Delaware is now here as the city attorney and the county's corporate counsel. That's unique in its own right. And sometimes that's beneficial. We need people who are from here, understand the history, the local values and all that because they grew up here. But we need a blend of other people who specifically who are not, because then they'll see and hear what we're saying and maybe bring a different perspective, right? Something we might not think about because we grew up in between these hills. And Michael is exactly that. He comes in with a little bit. It's a different pace. It's a different thing. I've worked with two other city attorneys. He's very different than either one of them were. And that's not a criticism of them. It's just pointing out this is someone different. And that's proved beneficial. Maybe someone looking for things that we weren't maybe thinking we needed to look for because everything seemed to be running okay, right? So you just do what you did because it still works. Well, that's the history here. It's a small town. That's you get it done today and get on to the next thing, right? You have a bunch of part-time elected people working around day jobs, businesses, and so on, and they serve for a short time, and then there's another election. So they're focused traditionally, and this makes sense, they're going to stay on what they're doing today to get done what they're doing tomorrow, because remember, it's not their career. As much as they care and as much time as they put in, that's why you have to, you can get into these places where, with no intent by anyone, things are just being done that way because they've always been done that way and there might be a better idea. But no one's looking for the better idea because they're just trying to complete today's task list, right? Makes some sense. Okay, but what also makes sense is once in a while having a fresh set of eyes that doesn't think that way. And that's exactly who Mr. Wendell is. He's very professional. I think the folks at the county would say the same thing they did. When I was looking for a new city attorney, when Mr. Chris McGow relocated to his native Alabama and we knew we would have an open position, I have a close relationship with Mr. Marty Brewer, who of course was the county board chair at the time, and also with Mr. Dave Turk, who now is the county board chair. I've known him since high school. And I checked Mr. Wendell out pretty good, and also with the sheriff. And everybody was very complimentary and got into detail about why. And I'd met Michael a few times in town, but I didn't know him real well. I'd just been paying a little attention to what was going on at the county. And they were going through some real challenges, some real diverse challenges. A lot of personnel changes happened in a short time. Excuse me. I don't know if that sounds familiar, but the county just went through this. The county put an administrator in shortly before the city did. And when that administrator began doing what he was hired to do, I don't think through anyone's intent, they went through a lot of personnel changes over there. And then waves of policy updates. Because guess why? Because they hadn't done it in a long time. And the new attorney said, hey guys, we should look at some of this. Well, now, if you just repeat the cycle, really. You do the same thing on the city side. That's now where we're at. We put an administrator in. Administrator's doing what she was hired to do. And then you get reactions to that because it's something different, something new. And now we have an attorney going, okay, and now guess what else? That's great what you guys did. You're doing great. But do you know what else you can do? We thought we knew every toy in the Tinker Toy box, right? Because we made a lot of changes at the city in the last 4 years, lots, sweeping changes. And we said, okay, look at all that. And then Michael goes, right, and let me tell you about all this. And we just look at him, what do you mean? So, Michael, what do you mean? What do you think's next at the city?
Well, what I'm really excited about is the opportunity presented by codification or recodification, depending on your view of it. Basically, the ordinances and resolutions of the city for the last 100 years or so have been either written down or typed up. We're in the modern digital age now. And so prior to my appointment, the city contracted with a company called MuniCode to digitize the code of ordinances, get it into a more readable format, and eventually post it to the website in a much more searchable format than it's currently in. As part of that process, they do a legal review. So they go through, they make sure if a statute is cited in our ordinance, that it's now the correct statute, nothing's contradictory or outright unconstitutional, et cetera. And then they produce a draft of the new code of ordinances that I then review, as well as I'm going to try and get some of the department heads enlisted as well to review sections relevant to their duties. But during this process, it allows us, it is difficult to read through an entire code of ordinances. The draft document is 814 pages with an executive summary memo. And a lot of our ordinances are outdated, contradictory, confusing. I would point specifically to the equivalent of our criminal code. Every different behavior is a different ordinance. Everyone has a different forfeiture attached to it. Some of them encompass two or more of what you would see in the criminal statute. So for disorderly conduct, you may also have lewd and lascivious behaviors attached to that. Well, those are separate in other aspects of the statute. And so as the guy who probably has to read it more than anybody else, I am uniquely positioned to be able to offer some suggestions to that. Now, MuniCode has said that our code of ordinances is particularly challenging, and I don't want to spoil anything for them tomorrow because they're going to have to sit through it, but I intend on presenting to the council tomorrow some of the options and alternatives that may be available through this process.
So what we're really saying, Mr. Wendell, is an opportunity for the council to clean things up, make them a lot more efficient, easier for the city attorney to use, the city administrator to use, department heads, anybody, the mayor, the council, if they want to look something up, it'll get much easier to do and just make it a lot more efficient. As you were alluded off the air, I mentioned, as Michael and I were discussing the process we're in, I mentioned the Johnny Cash song, One Piece at a Time, where he's working at a plant that made cars, and he snuck out one piece every day or every month, whatever it was, and he built himself a car, whatever it was, a 52, 53, 54, 55, because this thing had two headlights on one side, one on the other side, and this grill and that back seat, because he was sneaking parts and building a car. But boy, that thing runs good. And it's kind of where we got here, and it's because these ordinances, these things the city's running on, they've come over generations. I mean, how long has Richland Center existed, right? So through all that time, how many city attorneys, how many different department heads, mayors, alderpersons, and so forth have come through Richland Center and done their best? But again, the focus being do what's on your plate today, get it done, keep it running, get it done, keep it running. We got a city to run. Well, over time, through no intent by anyone, through no one's fault, really, if you don't make a point of sort of a continuous review and improve process, you can get where we are, where you have some things that are just out of date now, and then somebody goes, hey, let's fix this. Well, that's somebody's Michael, and that's where we are. Just make it cleaner, more efficient, easier to use, for a lot of good reasons.
Are we going through, are there some openings? Are there people applying for jobs for the city, Michael?
We are hiring. I would not presume to list all the open positions off the top of my head. I think, it's important to acknowledge there have been some departures from the city recently. The mayor and council are aware of this. It is directly tied to that shift to the administrator form of government. Certainly there is a different kind of oversight and accountability that is inherent to having a full-time administrator. And if you've worked a certain way for a long period of time, it can be difficult to kind of adapt to that additional oversight, especially if you've found that solution that works. When someone comes in and tells you, you know, that works, sure, but it's either not working as best it could or you're doing it the wrong way, even if it works. And I say that as someone in that position frequently, that can be challenging. And some people hear that enough and choose to pursue other opportunities. But the city is a great place to work. I know that everyone that I work with is passionate, really cares about the community. They're certainly not doing it for the money. You know, you can really make a difference in people's lives. I overheard a conversation in the clerk's office on Friday. Ashley, Administrator Oliphant, was assisting a citizen. I'm not sure with what, but she, you know, was very effusive in her praise and saying, you know, you made my whole day. And it's, you know, there are challenging moments, certainly, but those times really, if you're the right kind of person with the right kind of mindset, those will make your whole year in exchange.
Is Richland Center pretty typical to cities 5,000 plus? I mean, or is everyone different in how they operate?
I would say that one of the things that I fell in love with smaller communities is that there's no such thing as typical. You're going to have your own unique quirks. You know, there's certainly groups and organizations that allow for communications between professionals. So the Wisconsin League of Municipalities, or I work with the Wisconsin Counties Association in my role as Corporation Counsel, where ideas are exchanged. But at the end of the day, I don't answer to them. I answer to the council, the mayor, the administrator, and ultimately the people of Richland Center. And so my job is to reflect their values and their interests. So there are challenges with small towns, small communities. Certainly, we are not, you know, over endowed with excess resources, financial. We have, you know, challenging topography in terms of development and construction. We have, you know, the campus issue that's been discussed. You know, that's a large parcel of property with an uncertain future. Communication, I think, in a small town. I certainly don't have to tell you guys as the sources of news, but it can sometimes be difficult when the community is filling an informational void. When you are by dint of, you know, my profession, confidentiality kind of comes with the job title, or when I am advising organizations, hey, let's not talk about that for now, then certainly the rumor and the misinformation comes in. Hopefully, in a lot of cases, we can just kind of let that fizzle out on its own. There are opportunities like this where I can try and put what information I do have out there directly, but there are times when I'm just, or we are just not going to be able to speak on something, and I just ask that people be aware of the sources of information that are filling in those gaps if it's not from someone with actual knowledge.
Attorney Michael Wendell and Mayor Todd Coppernall in the studio. We'll have more coming up in a moment.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
Meister Log and Lumber Company would like to remind all landowners with timber property that their trees are a valuable asset. You can rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
It's that time of year again. Join the Richland County Farm Women for the 43rd Annual Dairy Breakfast, Sunday, June 9th, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Huff Nelson's Dairy Farm, 25560 Huffman Lane, Richland Center. Enjoy a delicious dairy meal for just $5 per person. The all-you-can-eat menu includes pancakes, sausage links, applesauce, cottage cheese, cheese curds, yogurt, string cheese, sliced cheeses, ice cream, coffee, and milk, both chocolate and white. Serving is from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Parking available in the hayfield or catch a ride from Ithaca High School. Solid ground handicap parking is also available on the farm. The Richland County Farm Women hope to serve you Sunday, June 9th, and remind you to serve your family dairy every day. For more details, visit their website or Facebook. See you at the Richland County Dairy Breakfast, June 9th.
The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, 2024. So don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Every year, 4.5 million young adults between the ages of 18 and 24 visit the ER.
It's every parent's nightmare.
Umergency gives you all the tools you need to quickly and effectively manage your family's emergency. Umergency provides instant access to vital resources customized to your student's campus and local community, digital consent form, and built-in urgent alert button. Umergency gives you peace of mind when you need it most. Download your Umergency app now.
Attorney Michael Wendell is in the studio, Mayor Todd Coppernall as well, as we talk about city and county issues. In the city recently, Memorial Day, and it was a very nice service. It was almost like prayers were answered, because Sunday night I was thinking, oh, they're going to move it into the high school. There's no way they're going to have it outdoors. You had it outdoors, and it worked out well, Todd.
You know, Phil, you're right. It rained most of that weekend, and the forecast was for rain in the morning, and we had beautiful blue skies and sun, and then rain later. It was rain the night before and rain after, with a perfect break to get the parade in, and then the service, which was moved this year, any day, literally, I believe this week, pending the weather, I believe this week, the 8th Street reconstruction project will begin. Some of the workers up there told my wife last week they'd be up on Wednesday, but we had more rain. So I don't know if, but any day. Well, they had initially, for months, they had told us it would be early May. Then, hence, 8th Street would be ripped apart, and we wouldn't be able to send a parade up to the cemetery. So we told the VFW that. I went to one of their meetings, and we went over it and came up with the alternative location of the Woodman Veterans Pavilion in the park, which, of course, is the Veterans Pavilion with markers honoring every branch of the armed forces. There's an American flag there. It's for the veterans. The POW MIA flag flies down there. And then we've got the nice pavilion with bench seating out there. And so and it's just a nice flat open lawn. Basically, if you're not familiar, it's in the area where the rotary lights are every year. And we chose to move there this year and to redirect the parade route to that location because we couldn't use the cemetery. And what we may have found, I'll say this, we had a bigger turnout than we usually get. We, I think, had a better location for the high school band and a lot of other things. And I would bet you 15 to 20 people that were there asked me if we might make that a permanent solution. That's not really my call. But I wanted to throw that out there because I did get a lot of feedback on it. And I just wanted to mention also that service every year is so important to so many. Among other things, I was once instructed not to have it because of COVID. And I said, no, we're doing it. And we just put safety measures in place. It just matters too much. And it should. It should. Memorial Day, I don't mind at all people going camping, barbecuing, going to the Brewers game. I don't care. Go have a good weekend. But it's Memorial Day for a reason. They call it that because it means something. And to the families and loved ones of the folks, the soldiers that have been lost through the generations in service to the country, it's critically important that we honor them every year. And we always have, and we're always going to here in Richland Center. I'm very proud of that. And I thought, again, tip of the cap to Margie Freeman, to Bo Henricks, who was the MC, and to everyone who spoke, all of them. Great job, great location, great job, Richland Center.
Well, you take over, you're into your next term here as mayor. Talk about some goals the next couple of years.
Yep, goals the next couple of years. So the reason I ran again, I gave it a lot of thought. You know, I've been mayor before this for 4 years. And understand which 4 years those were. My first 2 years were the pandemic. I was elected in April of 20, right when everything was really breaking. And that was just wild to get through. And then in my second term, even though it really wasn't the city's business, it's absolutely, in a sense, the city's business, what the UW system did with our campus. It's not our budget, it's not our property, but it has a giant impact on the city of Richland Center, and we had no control over what happened, and it happened. So that's my second term, the turmoil. This city hasn't seen upheaval like that in a long time, and we got it back to back in the last 4 years, and it did take a toll on me. It makes you tired. You can't help it. If you care, if you're really in it, you're trying to help everybody. If you know me 10 minutes, you know I am. Try to listen to everybody, find solutions, and sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, and it all adds up. And I was pretty tired last fall, and then some opportunities became pretty clear that we had a shot here. And the first one is Panorama Estates Apartments, and I'm going to let Michael make a comment in a minute here, but a couple of other retail businesses contacted us, and then a home builder bought some land, wants to build some houses, and I have been involved in every one of these, heavily involved in every one of these projects. And it just came clear to me, this is not the time to leave. You said you would, now finish. And I mean it. And that's why I ran again. We've got these things out there that the community would definitely benefit from, things I know the people dearly want. And so I ran again, and very grateful to the voters. They chose to keep me in place. So those are the reasons I ran again. The economic development issues, getting apartments, houses, maybe some new businesses here. That's the reason I came back. But then what that's around that, there's the day-to-day running of the city. And that is fluid. You have to that changes all the time. One thing we're trying to do, and then I've got an update for you from the police department too. One thing we're trying to do is finalize and then execute a developer's agreement to get some new apartments in town. And Michael, as a city attorney, is directly, he's right in the middle of that. What do you know, Mr. Wendell, on Panorama?
As I said, they're the reason I moved here. So when I heard that they were looking to continue that and expand their offerings, certainly I was excited to be a part of that. As you say, Mr. Mayor, we are working through a developer's agreement. There is a number of different economic levers that we can utilize to incentivize development. My job is to ensure that, especially if there's an investment of public funds or any kind of tax credit or anything like that, that we get a protection for the city's interests. I'm not going to have some, out-of-town developer come in, make a bunch of promises, and then pull out and leave us holding the bag, because I'm already dealing with an equivalent situation elsewhere. And so the developer's attorney and I are going through different drafts of the document. There are some protections that I think are non-negotiable. I'm sure that my counterpart will feel the same, but this is a normal process. It takes a little bit of time, but it matters because the first agreement for the first building, I would say that we learned a lot from that process. Now, that was before my time, but I now am having to deal with the execution of it. And there are certainly areas that were not addressed that I now know need to be. And then there are just other things that, you know, we can offer now with a greater understanding that we may not have been aware of at the time that was negotiated. And I do want to say that Jason Glassbrenner, the economic development director, I believe a reasonably frequent guest on your show, has been instrumental in this whole process as well. He's a really details-oriented guy. I sometimes have to tell him to back off because he's not the lawyer I am, but that's the kind of guy that he is. You know, he's certainly right there with me in wanting to make sure that this is something that is a benefit to the city, has assisted wherever possible in making my job easier and facilitating communication between the developer and the city. And that's not to diminish the mayor's contribution to that in any way. Right. They just simply have different sets of skills. Yeah. And, you know, this is a time when Jason's come more to the fore.
That's just kind of how I like that, actually, because my skill set helped bring that builder here in the first place. It absolutely did. He would tell you that. And then I handed it to Jason to do what we hired him to do. It's that simple. And Jason, as Michael just said, is so detail-oriented, sometimes it's almost funny. I'm like, look, man, you're not the engineer. You're not the builder. We know you know all of this. Hang in there, buddy. But he has done a great job on it. And Michael has. The whole city council has been involved in this. They deserve credit for it, too. It won't happen without them. They're the ones who vote. And they have to get it this far. And they're eager, too. And don't misunderstand the guys on the people who are your older persons on the city council. They love it too when something new gets built that they were part of, and they want it, but they want it on the right terms for the city.
Possible groundbreaking this year then
for the new building? I'd be surprised if not. Yeah. I know the developer is very, very eager. Like I said, we're doing our best to take care of the words and let the builders do their thing, but I'm sure once before the ink is dry, They'll have shovels in the ground.
Awesome. Let's move over to the campus a little bit on the county perspective, Michael. Anything new on that?
Nothing new. I would say there's two paths of concern regarding the campus. There is the future of the campus, and then there is addressing the way that we've gotten to where we currently are. On the looking back front, you know, the press release that was issued in response to the letter from the UW system pretty much summarizes our position. Nothing is off the table. There are a number of different options that we're looking to pursue, but we're also looking to work with partners. I don't mean to speak for anybody else, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but we're not the only community that's facing this. And, you know, certainly behoove these other communities to look at us as a potential example of what may be coming down the road for them. And so we're trying to have those discussions. I would say that there's no action I can articulate on that front at this time, but that doesn't mean nothing's being done. It just means we're not in a position right now. Again, nature of my job, confidentiality. Regarding the future of the campus, the county has contracted with Venture Architects, and they are doing a space needs assessment. They're essentially evaluating the courthouse, county building, the HHS building, the campus, and possibly some other sites. I'm not entirely certain, but figuring out what's working, what isn't. Is there a configuration for things that makes more sense than what we have now? Are things viable for the long term? Are we going to have to, you know, rebuild a thing in 10 years so we can start budgeting for that? But what the impact that that has in the campus is, I've told numerous people this as they've asked, really, there's nothing I can say about what the campus could or could be used for, or what that land could be used for until this assessment is done. It is anticipated that we'll have at least an initial report in July, get some idea of the condition of the buildings. Certainly, they're configured for a college campus, and we would need to get some kind of idea if we were going to make another use of the existing buildings, what would be required to get those retrofitted or updated. But, you know, again, just because we can't make any definitive statement doesn't mean nothing's going on. We need to know what we need to know in order to make those decisions. Coupled with that, though, is the ongoing work of the Campus Reconfiguration Committee. They will be ultimately the ones who are evaluating proposed uses for the campus once we have the results of that space needs assessment. Where they are currently is evaluating or determining the criteria by which proposals will be judged. So I can speak on behalf of the full county here in saying that it's really important that, you know, this is such a important asset to the community that everyone be given a fair shot to have their voices heard, their ideas evaluated. And so we want to create a fair, unbiased, impartial set of criteria, make that available, and then people will be able to adapt their proposals, submit it, and have those evaluated. That work remains ongoing, but I would encourage the community to pay attention to those meetings. They're all, if you're not able to make it in person, they're certainly all broadcast, and then the videos are uploaded later.
Indeed.
Okay, one more update I'd like to provide, different topic. I had a long phone conversation over the weekend with Mr. Pete Walsh. If you don't know, serves as the president of our police commission, and that is the citizen panel that oversees police activities. And they will be, I don't know if they've announced them or will be, but there's some new hires coming at the police department that they've worked hard on. And so we've got some new folks coming in over there that they're really enthusiastic about. And Pete's explanation to me, they found some local talent, people that want to stay here, live here, grow here, have families, all of that. That will be joining our police force in the near future. And so there have been some new hires at the city and the folks at the commission. That's how I started in local politics, was as a police commissioner before I ever ran for alderperson and then mayor. And I would tell you that our police commission and our police department are functioning at a very high level. I'm pleased with all of it. I'm sure Mr. Wendell can attest to that. Being the attorney, of course, he works with our police. And there's a couple new officers coming. Michael, had you heard that yet?
I actually had the pleasure of meeting at least one of the candidates. So tomorrow is a perfect example. There's a biweekly traffic docket. So if you catch a speeding ticket or something like that, you're probably going to see me on a Tuesday morning. I could not do my job without the input of the officer sitting next to me in those court hearings. The candidate is, I believe, still in training, yep. But as part of that, they attended court alongside me. And so I had the opportunity to speak with them. Certainly their enthusiasm was palpable. I do understand that they're a member of the community already. So, we don't have to sell it to them. They're already a part of it. So, the police provide invaluable resources. We ask, frankly, too much of them, whatever we can do to make sure that they have the staff that they need and the resources to assist the community, I certainly support.
Absolutely. It used to be a time when we knew all of the police officers by name, you and I growing up here.
Yeah, my neighborhood, when I was a kid, I grew up on Ward Street, which is three blocks long, runs up the hill from TKS. And in my neighborhood, names from the past, Jack Bauer, Carl Delameter, Lynn Walker, different city officers through the time, and county officer Ron Sherman. So, right down Sheldon Street, within about four blocks, you had four officers. So we didn't do much as kids over there. We were in bed on time and ate our vegetables. But we knew, we played with their kids. We knew those officers by first name basis, right? And they were from here, stayed here, and all of that. Like so many other things, the world's become much more mobilized. People move more than they did then. But yeah, I grew up in a neighborhood filled with local officers, and they were just the guys that hung out with my dad.
Sure. Yep. Next generation, though, important that they're part of the community and everything else. And
fully agreed.
Good.
I was excited to hear it the way it went down. It sounds like they did a great job in the interview process and so forth, which we would expect them to do. And they were happy to find two people as eager as they are. And actually, what Pete said is they had almost too many good candidates. And you don't hear that a lot in the labor market right now. So this one went really well. It's a win for the city. Excited to get them on board.
Community forums. I know you had a couple as you were preparing for this spring, but you're going to plan to have a few more of those, Todd?
Working on that, yes. You may recall over the winter, we had two events on the same day in the banquet hall at the Phoenix Center, and we had representatives there from city government, county government, and the Richland School District talking about things we're all working on. And I remember Steve Board from the schools gave a PowerPoint presentation on the what were then the upcoming school referendums that were then on the April ballot. And passed on a very narrow vote. And one thing, we just met again, the group of us that started this process just about 2 weeks ago now. And Steve's had a lot of feedback that those forums and the information, the key point is, the information that was shared at those forums really made a difference there. People were grateful to hear it and have that opportunity and learn. And that opportunity was there and was wide open to ask questions of the city, the county, or the schools. We don't have a date set yet, but we're working on a late summer event of the same nature. Probably do it the same thing. I think we did 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. to give people different times of the day to attend, and they were both very well attended. And I'm really excited about that process and the improved and continuously improving relationship now that exists between Richland Center, Richland County, and the Richland School District. That really wasn't the case a few years back. And I forget, really, it wasn't the case a few years back. And when I first got involved, I was surprised to find that out. And so credit goes to everyone involved at all three entities, because that's what it takes. And everybody is committed to open communication with each other and then sharing that with our people.
Well, I appreciate you both being transparent here, you know, kind of talking. I think it's important because it kind of maybe squashes some rumors and those kind of things. Important that you're here today, Michael.
We can certainly hope.
Yeah. Come back and see us again.
I'm happy to do it. Like I said, there's going to be times that I can't answer a question, but you know, to the extent that I'm able to, I'm happy to provide this information to the community.
Yeah, and Todd, same thing, you know.
Oh, you know, I'll be back. I'm here the first Monday every month. Sometimes I brought the administrator down one time before the announcement that impacted the Richland campus. I had Tammy Avedovich with me from UW-Platteville on the air, trying to just share as much information as we can with the community, and I'm always up for that. I was very happy that Michael accepted my invitation to come down here. Most people in the community don't know him, and he's playing a critical role on your behalf and doing things at a high level. And I think you all heard that today. He's a very professional guy, and it comes off on the air, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So what I got to ask Michael a question. He was a DJ. So we know the music I listen to and Phil listens to. So if you had a radio show, Mr. Wendell, if you had a Saturday night show like Phil Nee has, what kind of music would be on Mike Wendell's show?
I am someone who is diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It was ADD when I was first diagnosed, but ADHD now. And I found that working and studying with music has really been helpful, but it can't be anything too lyrically involved. And so I grew up listening to a lot of what was then techno and is now electronic dance music, jungle, drum and bass, all the different varieties of that. And so that would be the majority of what I listen to nowadays. But I also listen to, you know, the lo-fi channels, industrial metal, currently I have a Yes Remixes CD stuck in the CD player of my car, which I can't complain about.
Seriously?
Too hard. Seriously.
That's, yeah. I like that.
That's a little
Phil
bit of everything.
Likes that.
My dad is a blues guitarist, and so okay. I grew up listening to Clapton when I woke up every morning, and so my friends were all major Pink Floyd fans. I was the only Zeppelin fan in exchange.
Well, and then you mentioned that your university, Cab Calloway, certainly
high school.
High school.
Cab
that was that was your high school.
Yep.
Cab Calloway, certainly a pioneer in music as well.
Yes. Yes. We had Minnie the Moocher was our school song. So
oh, was it?
That was okay. Performed
oh,
every year.
So the brilliant lyricist, the Paul Simon, you know, Don Henley, those guys that wrote those lyrics that make you sit and think, that's not your friend.
They can be. If I'm in my own time, if I I certainly enjoy a evening drive with the music turned up loud. And, you know, I do listen to hip hop as well. And I appreciate more the lyrically in-depth songs rather than the violence and drug use and misogyny that pervades that genre. The positive tip is the genre specifically that I look for. But certainly, you know, music is a different window to the soul. Oh, yeah. And the lyrics express things that, you know, might not be as easy to say as we would hope.
No doubt.
Well done, man.
Good to have you both in here today. Have a good summer.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Phil.
Attorney Michael Wendell and Mayor Todd Coppenall on today's Community Conversation on The Morning Show.
Since 1956, Meyer Oil & LP has been your trusted, locally owned fuel delivery partner. Whether it's for your home, farm, or business, we've got you covered. Offering a range of fuels from propane, diesel, gas, and bulk lubes, Meyer Oil is here for you. Serving most of Richland, Sauk, and surrounding counties, our friendly staff is ready to assist you. Please consider Meyer Oil & LP for all your fuel needs. Call us at 608-524-3914.
Hi, this is Kelly from the Richland Chiropractic Clinic. Did you know there may be a way to stop taking pain meds every day and feel better than you have in years? For over 70 years, the Richland Chiropractic Clinic has specialized in natural, drug-free options to help you find your quality of life again. Our doctors treat patients of all ages and take most insurance plans. Don't have insurance? No problem. We offer a medical discount program for uninsured patients. Need a federal exam for your CDL? We can get that done and keep you on the road. Give us a call at Richland Chiropractic Clinic, 647-6211. Let us help you back into your health.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Don't let urologic problems affect your quality of life. Gunderson Bosquel's board-certified urologist, Dr. Katie Trandum, brings help and hope to Bosquel. Dr. Trandum specializes in conditions affecting the bladder, kidneys, prostate, and urinary tract in children and adults and provides expert care close to home. To schedule a urology consult with Dr. Trandum, talk to your provider today. Gunderson Bosquel, bringing love plus medicine to you.
The Richland Cattle Center would like to thank its many sellers and buyers for their continued support. This Wednesday sale at the Richland Cattle Center at Ithaca starts at 11:30 and will feature a quality run of recently fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, milking and bred cows, open heifers of all ages, and a breeding age bull. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com. And don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday at 11:30.
This hour's keyword in the text to win, Sconny Summer from Civic Media. The word to text is civic. So there you go, civic. Find your station, use the text button to send the keyword for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Again, the word is civic to text this time around. Coming up, our news update in a couple of minutes from ABC.
Just like no two people are the same, no 2 days are the same. We start them and end them at different times. And in between, we all do very different things. Yet there is something we all have in common. Knowing your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative is here to power every moment of every day. Because no matter when it starts, we never stop.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here they come.
ready for an action-packed weekend at the 65th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals happening at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The excitement kicks off with special introductions at 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights and at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, followed by thrilling performances. Don't miss the annual rodeo parade at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. The weekend promises top-notch entertainment, showcasing some of the finest high school athletes in the state. Advance tickets are available now through June 14th at Creative Layers, located at 142 South Central Avenue in Richland Center. And on Sunday, June 16th, join us for Cowboy Church at 8:30 a.m. to start your day. For any questions, give Kenda a call at 475-1886. June 14th through 16th, Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals in Richland Center. See you there.
Working outdoors often results in a great feeling afterwards. The feeling of having achieved something. Whether it's tackling fallen limbs, cutting firewood, or clearing land, Steel has a chainsaw for your next project. Find your Steel at Hillsboro Equipment.